Welcome to Living Word Bible Church audio sermons. Please visit us at www.lwbc.co.uk for more information, further audios, and a host of other Bible-based resources. We pray that the following audio sermon will both bless and encourage you.
Galatians 6, verse 14, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." The Christian life is a new creation. The Christian is a new creation. And the Christian belongs to a new universe. The world is crucified unto us. The world is dead to us. We are no longer citizens of this world or even of this universe. We are now citizens of heaven. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. So whatever this universe is, the extent of it, how many millions of light years it would take to get to the end of the universe, there is no other home for you and I as believers in this world or in the vastness of the universe. We are citizens of heaven. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us in the kingdom of God. Everything changed the moment we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. We have a new life. It was a new start, and that could only be found in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we take on board the liberal theology type of understanding, which suggests that our life is renovated by using the same materials that already existed. So the old materials constitute the new life that we've got. So it's a renovation. It's an upgrade. And it's none of that at all. Paul made it very clear. The world is crucified and I am crucified unto the world. We are dead with Christ. Our old life is crucified with Christ. There is none of the old material left. Now, you would say, well, what about our body? But God has a plan for that. We've been made brand new, new creatures in Christ Jesus, the moment we accepted Christ as Saviour, the moment we accepted what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. That is when we became brand new creatures. Not renovated creatures, but brand new creatures. But God's got a plan for the body too. Because one day, even through death or through the rapture, our spirit, soul, is going to be reunited with the body. Everything about being born again is brand new. So you and I as Christians do not need to worry about, am I saved? What do I need to do to be saved? What good work should I do to prove that I'm saved? What is there I've got to do that would make the world or other people, I should say, believe that I am a born again Christian? There's absolutely nothing. It's not that we are becoming new creatures. We are new creatures in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is, not will be, but is a new creature. Old things are passed away." That means everything about your old life before you became a Christian. Old things, everything was passed away. That's what Paul said. "The world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Behold, all things are become new." All things, not some, not patching up, not putting a bit of mortar into a hole or a crack. God doesn't gloss over impurity. God wipes it all away through the blood of Jesus Christ, and we become new creatures. Everything of the old life is gone. Paul said it. The world is crucified unto me. So no wonder then Paul could rightly say, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, because the cross was the answer. The cross was and still is the power of God unto salvation, because that's where the gospel is. As believers, we have been delivered from the old Adamic state. We're no longer the children of Adam. We must be careful here. In the flesh, with our natural life, yes, we have the characteristics of the Adamic race. But something changed. We're no longer the children of the first Adam. We are the brothers and sisters, as it were, of the second Adam, which is Jesus Christ. We are now the children of God, not the children of men. We are now in Christ instead of in Adam, because those in Adam die, but those in Christ have everlasting life. So the old life, the old Adam life, that which we inherited from Adam, is dead. The moment Jesus died on the cross and said, "It is finished," that was the end of the Adamic race for you and I. The old nature, that's what I'm getting at here, the old nature is crucified with Christ. Romans 6 verse 6 says this very, very pointedly. We don't misunderstand what Paul is saying here. He says, knowing this, so it's something we need to know, something that we need to focus upon, something that we need to get deep down into our spirits. We knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. What is the old man? The Adamic nature. The old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed. If you're crucified with Christ, the body of sin, meaning the carnal nature, the human nature, the sin nature, has been destroyed. So no longer, and Paul goes on to say, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We've been given a power to live above the human sphere, the human way, the sin nature. I said right at the beginning, we are new creatures in a new universe. The rules and regulations of this world do not apply to you and I. We have a higher standard than that, and it's a heavenly standard. And that power that God gave us, because it's a brand new life, a brand new ability, a brand new power, so that we now have the power over the sin nature. The devil will come along and try and tempt us back, just like he tempted Adam and Eve to sin, to disobey God. So he will do the same thing for us. Understand that Satan does not understand the sin nature. Let me go back on that. Satan does not understand everlasting life from the point of view of the blood of Jesus Christ. What I mean by that is that he believes that he can bring you down from that. But if you keep trusting in Jesus, the Bible says, the Bible tells us that we cannot be snatched out of the Father's hands. It's just keep on believing that we are brand new creatures in Christ Jesus. Keep on glorifying in the cross. Keep on keeping your focus upon the cross of Calvary. And you'll find that whatever residue, if that's the right way of putting it, whatever temptation, whatever inclination we might have, that by listening to lies of this world and of the devil, will fizzle out, will fade out, and we'll get the victory over sin. It's gone forever. We are forever changed. If it's just a building up on the old nature, if it's just filling in the cracks, if it's just a renovation, then nothing has changed. You can have an old house that to be made as though it looks brand new. But that 18th, 19th century house remains an 18th, 19th century house, regardless of how you pretty it up, no matter what paint you put on it, no matter what decoration you have in it, whatever furnishings you've got, it still is an old house. But the old house for you and I as Christians has been demolished. It's destroyed. The body of sin is destroyed. And we are brand new creatures in Christ. So sin, if we focus upon that at the moment, sin only overcomes us when we allow it to dominate us. If we give it an inch, it will take a mile. If we open the door to it, because sin lies at the door, if we open the door to it, then it will come in. If we invite it in, it will come in and it will begin slowly but surely to dominate our Christian lives. That's a very real possibility. Am I saying that somebody could lose the salvation because of that? At this point, I'm not saying that at all. But it's so easy for us to be overcome when we should be more than conquerors. We should be overcomers. It's so easy for us, for dominion, to the devil's dominion to come over us, than for us to have dominion over the world and over sin. Paul said in Romans 6 verse 14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you." Don't let sin dominate you. Look what he said again. "For sin shall not have dominion over you." There's a real possibility that it can if we open the door to it. But if we keep the door firmly shut, if the blood of the covenant is on the doorposts of our hearts and our lives, then sin cannot have dominion over us. So think about new life. New life isn't simply, as religionists think, that God is forgiving your sin and pardoning your sin. If that's all he did, then we haven't got new life. He didn't just forgive you your sin, although he did, and pardon your sin, which he did. He took it all out the way so that he will not remember your sin anymore. That's what the scriptures teach us. He will not remember your sin. It's gone. In God's mind, in God's universe, if I can put it that way, it's gone. And we have to bring our hearts and our lives to the place, our minds, and say, "That's if God says that, then it must be true." So religion sees that God forgives. And that's a nice thing, isn't it? God forgives. God pardons. It's a lovely thing to tell people. But then they just go away and sin again. Oh, well, God forgives and God pardons. So they'll go away and sin again. And it just keeps on going and going and going. So that actually nothing is fixed. Nothing is put right. They're still living the old life of routine, of disobeying God, asking for forgiveness, doing good works as proof of that they are right with God. And really, they're getting nowhere. They're just in a rut. That's the way religion views Christianity. And it's wrong. That is just the sin. That is just sin, and confession is just the rut that people find themselves in. It ends up in the same place where it started. Especially as we think of the Roman Catholic Church. Saturday, go to confession, confess your sins to the priest. Sunday, just get back on with your life and live the rest of your life until next Saturday, and then go back to the priest and confess your sin. And it's just this routine. And they think that somehow that this is what God is asking for. The old life continually walking around the rut, a merry-go-round that gets nowhere. Instead, our whole position has been changed. We're no longer on that merry-go-round, going around in circles of religion. Now we're heading forward to the heavenly city. Now we are truly secured as the children of God. It's not, are we children of God? In the sense of, am I the child of God today, but I've sinned, so therefore I can't be the child of God. No, it doesn't work that way for you and I as Christians. We are truly secured as God's children. We are in an entirely different relationship with him than when we were not Christians. Before we were Christians, we were strangers. The King James Bible says that we were alienated from God. We were the enemies of God. We certainly were not the children of God. We were the children of Satan. But through the adoption, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are now the children of God. We are in a different position. We are now made right with God. We have a relationship with God. We operate under grace, under the gospel, under the cross. If we operate under religion, then we haven't been reconciled with God. In Romans 6, verse 14, for ye are not under the law. You're not under religion anymore. No matter how good that religion may have been, and in this sense, I'm talking about Judaism. Some people in our churches today think that if we adopt Judaic principles and teachings and laws, that somehow God would think, oh, what an amazing thing, and they glory in that. But we are not under the law, but under grace. We are not operating under religion of any code or any law. We are operating under grace. Grace does not give us the freedom to sin. Some people think that's what we're saying. Oh, because you're under grace, you can go and do what you please. No, those under grace see sin in all of its blackness and say, I've been there, I've done that, I've bought the t-shirt, I'm not going back to that position. They flee from it. They flee from the very appearance of iniquity. A released criminal is not free to commit further crimes. He's been pardoned to go and live a brand new life. He's not free to, because the judge says, okay, now you have been paroled, you can go, you're free, you can go and do as you please. He hasn't got the freedom to go and do as he pleases in that sense, to go and commit heinous crimes or any crimes. If he does, he puts himself back under the law of the land. So a released criminal who goes out and commits a crime again, he automatically puts himself under the law of the land. That's what Christians do when they put themselves under the law. It proves, in that sense, that the criminal's position hasn't changed. He's still a criminal. You and I are no longer sinners, but saints. We're no longer sinners, but saints. I know the phrase that people like to use, oh, we're sinners saved by grace. That's just a cover for sin. We're not sinners saved by grace. We were sinners. We're saved by grace, and grace made us the saints of God. If you still sinning under grace, there is something wrong with your understanding of grace. What I mean by that, if you believe that you can go and do as you please, you can live the life that you please, you can live in wickedness and sin, you can disobey God, there is something wrong with the understanding of grace or the cross of Jesus Christ. Listen to what Paul said in Romans 6:15. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves to obey, yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. So if you've been set free from sin and then you go headlong, like the dog back to its vomit, or the pig back to its pig's will, then there's something wrong with all of this. If you give yourself over to sin, sin dominates. Sin will take control. You become the servants of sin. But you and I as Christians, under grace, put ourselves under the righteousness of God. And of obedience unto righteousness, then it's obedience, righteousness, that controls our Christian life. We are holiness unto the Lord. So God transformed us, that we, to the degree that we don't want to go back to the old life. We don't want to go there. I often think about Christians, people who become Christians, and I suspect that the cross has never been preached to them, but people who become Christians and then right back into the pubs and the clubs and all the rest of the things of the world and think there's nothing wrong with it. I suspect also that that's the doctrine of the church that they attend. But the cross places us in an entirely new position. The things that dragged us down no longer drag us down, because we're not in the position for them to do that. We're in Christ Jesus. We've been given victory over the world, and this is the victory over the world, even our faith. The cross placed us in an entirely new position. God no longer is our lawgiver. God is our Father. He has filled us with his nature. Yes, we're still in this fallen world, but we have a new way of living. We have a new power to live in this fallen world. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live this new life. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In no conceivable way is the true believer the same as he was before he became a believer. So God expects us and gives us all the tools, all the power, the ability to live the new life. Walk ye in newness of life. It's a new way. He gives us the ability to do that by his Spirit. In Philippians 2 verse 12, whereby, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So God works in us that which we work out. So it's still the work of God. We don't do good works to please God. We do good works because God is motivating us to that. He gives us the power to do that. What I mean by that, we don't do religious duty. We don't do charitable works, because very often when that happens, we're not seeking to please God. We're seeking to get the adoration of people round about us. We glory in our own ability. But those who are dead in Christ, those who have taken up the cross, have died to self, they're the ones that God works into those people his will and his good pleasure. And we work it out. We work it out. But notice what Paul said, with fear and trembling. What is that talking about? Fear in a sense of we worship God, we reverence God, we put God first in our lives. It's not fear of losing salvation. Trembling. Well, we should tremble under the mighty power of God. It's a wonderful thing. We look at the old life and say, I'm not going back there. We should tremble even at the thought of going back into the old life. We should fear going back into the old life. Fear what dragged us down and say, well, you know what, I'm not going there again. Because perfect love casts out all fear. I'm going to put my faith in Jesus. Since we are in a new relationship with God, heaven is open to us and we can talk to God. In situations where temptation comes, when we feel ourselves in a rocky position, in a boat in the middle of a storm, we can talk to God. Heaven is open to us. Prayer is not just words in a religious sense. It's a conversation with God. We are entering into God's presence, which we couldn't have done before we became new creatures in Christ Jesus. In Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The time of need, we go to the Lord, not just in a time of need, and maybe we are in need all of the time. We can go directly to God. We have such a right to come to him. We have such right to come to him. Religion cowers and seeks to please God through good works. Religion looks with disdain upon those who say, I go boldly before the throne of God. They think that you can't possibly say something like that. It's high-minded, it's audacious. And what they're trying to do is put laws on you, put religious laws, religious banners, barriers, I should say, on you, so that you can't go to God. He put a burden of religion. So God is obscure, God is distant, God is unfriendly, God is that old man sitting in heaven, wielding a big sword, waiting to cut you down. Religion forbids you to approach God. It pastes a banner over the entrance of heaven. As it tells in John 9, verse 31, God heareth not sinners. God heareth not sinners. You see, religious people said that. People who didn't fully understand the things of God say such things as that. But the warning is of no consequence for us. In Ephesians 2 verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Let me just say it again. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We've got access. We can come boldly. Not on the basis of who we are or any position that we've been given, but because of him who we believe in. We are in Christ. It's because we're in Christ, not because we can confess a few words over a situation. Not that we, as some people think they can do, they can decree certain words in a certain situation and think they, because of those magical words, they've got victory over the world. Through him, through Jesus only, we have access to the throne of God. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, through him. We've access to the Father through Jesus. He's the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. It's only through Jesus and what he did on Calvary's cross that we have such access. There's no other acceptable way with God. No other way. No religion, no philosophy, no law, no ritual, no good works, no rules or regulations. In Hebrews 4, verse 14, seeing then that you have a high priest, a great high priest, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. It's because Jesus is in heaven that we have the ability to live the Christian life. We hold fast our profession. What does that mean? The profession of our faith. What is the profession of faith? Well, I don't want to know anything amongst you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I'm going to glory, not to myself, but in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. In times of need, we go by way of the cross. To obtain mercy, we go by the way of the cross. To stand firm, we go by the way of the cross. If only we would accept that it's all through the blood. And that our ability, not religion, not good works, it's all because of what Jesus did on the cross. We keep on going through him. If we came to God through Jesus Christ, the moment we confess our sins, the day of our salvation, then how much more so today as we continue to live our Christian life? Daily, the intensity of satanic temptation and influence bombards us at every angle. The darts of the fiery darts of the wicked one continue to blast against us. We've been given the armour of faith, the armour of God. Thank God for that. But still, it's only through the blood of Jesus. In Hebrews 10, verse 19 to 22, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. It didn't stop, did it? We are bold to enter the holiest. We can't. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can, by a new and living way. It's a new and living way, not the old way of religion. We can't come by the old life. It's a new way, a new and living way, not old and dead, but new and living, which he has consecrated for us. God has prepared that, the life that we can live through the veil. That is to say, his flesh. So again, through Jesus. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Don't let anybody rob you of that faith in Jesus. Don't let anyone mock you for believing in the cross, and the cross still avails for you, that the blood still avails for you. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. There is full salvation there, full assurance of faith, because we believe in what Jesus did on the cross. When the accuser reminds you of your past, look to Calvary. Look to the victory that Calvary gave you. When the devil tells you, oh, well, you were this type of person, you can simply say, I'm not saying to talk to the devil. I don't particularly believe that. But we can say to ourselves, well, you know what? The day I became a Christian, all things passed away. Whatever the devil is lying to me about my old life, it's gone. God has forgotten it. I'm going to forget it. The devil can try and remind me as much as possible, but I'm not going to listen to him. I'm going to put my gospel fingers in my ears whenever the devil speaks to me. Look to Calvary. When he tried to rake up old memories, your conscience, remember that you've been sprinkled clean from an evil conscience through the blood of Jesus. See, all those feelings, memory of the past, are just a platform for you to return to the old life. When we feel unworthy and unclean, don't give in. Keep the profession of your faith. Hold fast your profession. Don't give in. Instead, fly to the old place of security. Instead of going to the old life, go to the old place of security, that old rugged cross. Go to the what's been proven true from billions of people throughout the centuries, the cross of Jesus. The hymn writer said it right. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. No wonder Paul had nothing to glory in save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I as Christians can't glory in the old life. You and I as Christians can't glory in religion. We can't glory in ability. We can't glory in good works. We glory only, solely in the cross of Jesus Christ. Why? Because that is where our life, our lives changed forever. Our lives changed forever the moment Jesus became our Lord. We were never the same. We could never be the same after that point. Thank God that we are brand new creatures in Christ. In thanking God, we're actually glorying in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy rib inside which flow be of sin the